Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Home stretch here on Silver and Black. Today, you are with Mo Moten. He is the national NFL writer for Bleacher Report. Also, the Raiders columnist at SportsNot.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Mo Moten, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. You can also follow me on SportsNot.com when I write about the Raiders up there, and also on Twitter at LV Gully. Do us a big favor. Make sure if you already don't subscribe to the podcast that you do that wherever you get your audio. You can find us, put on the auto download. That way, every time we push a new show, you're able to get it, as well as subscribing to the channel on YouTube. All right, Mo, let's jump into this one. I know you were busy last weekend covering these games, but the 49ers are heading into, after dispelling the rumor, or I should say the mirage that was the Cowboys, they're going to go to Philly now, to a Philly team that's playing really well. It's going to be a cold weather game. 49ers have to go east. You look at this one, everybody is on the Eagles here. I think the media thinks that the Eagles are going to have a pretty good time. They want to punch the ticket to the Super Bowl already. Brock Purdy has played well. Again, he shows poise. Doesn't put up massive numbers or anything, but it doesn't matter. They still won the game against Dallas. He did what he had to do, and key was he didn't make turnovers or cause key mistakes for his team. Do the 49ers have a good shot of going in there with their stout defense and that offense with Brock Purdy? Can they upset the Eagles in Philadelphia?
I think so. I guess I'm on the other side of the media because I saw what you saw. A lot of people are picking the Eagles to win, and I get it because they – throttle the Giants and they looked impressive in that game. But you got to understand that to me, the Giants were the Cinderella team of that playoff field. Like Giants didn't belong. The Giants got in off of great coaching. That roster just didn't have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, other than Saquon Barkley, who is Daniel Jones throwing the football to or handing off to. You know, I know Isaiah Hodges came on, but to me, the Giants aren't a good barometer to say the Eagles are this juggernaut. I think the Eagles benefited from having some rest because Jalen Hurts did have a shoulder injury, didn't play well in his last two regular season games. But I actually think the 49ers win simply because, and I heard this from Kyle Van Noy in another show. He said, Kyle Shanahan is going to find 58 different ways to run the football. And the one weakness that the Eagles have is you can run the football on them. That's the one weakness that you look at the Eagles. Where can we attack? You can run the football on the Eagles. And that's that's Kyle Shanahan's bread and butter. And the last segment I just said, every one of these teams still in the conference championship round has identity, and the 49ers know how to run the football. This is why Brock Purdy doesn't have a ton of pressure. They just ask Brock Purdy, be accurate, don't turn the football over,
right,
and leave yourself a little more time when you're going to throw the ball out of bounds before halftime. That's a whole different story, but I'll just say that they don't ask Brock Purdy to be outside of himself, and you don't have to go out there and be Tom Brady. Just complete passes, make the timely throws. We'll take care of it in the run game, and I think that's where the Eagles and that's where the 49ers match up well against the Eagles on the ground. I think the 49ers come away with the W.
Well, and I think you have to also give a lot of credit to GM John Lynch in San Francisco because at the midpoint, at the trade deadline, I think he was looking. Listen, I'm going to give him a lot of credit. I think he was looking at the landscape. He saw, I mean, the Eagles were hot all year. So you start looking, okay, who are we going to have to beat to get to the Super Bowl? And watched and saw through half a season almost what their weakness was. And it was, you're right, it was the run game all season long. So he goes out and gets the best running back he can possibly get, which is Christian McCaffrey. And Christian McCaffrey, yeah, he's not putting up some of these Superman numbers like he did in Carolina because he doesn't have to, right? Not only that, he can run the ball, and he will run the ball a ton against Philadelphia on Sunday, but he also can catch the ball too. So he is, I think, the best move a team has made in the NFL this year, as a trade, to set themselves up for potential opponents in the playoffs. That's why I, too, think the 49ers can go. I think it's going to be a very good game, but I think that the 49ers can go in and beat them. The cold weather stuff, I know it always comes up when a West Coast team goes out. They do play in San Francisco. It's not L.A. where it's 80 degrees. It's at least in the 50s in San Francisco, like it was against the Cowboys. So I think, and in the cold weather, grinding the ball on the ground is fine, right? So to me, I actually love the 49ers in that game, and I think that they're going to, and we'll get more into this on the next show, but I do think that they're going to have a great opportunity to go in there. We look at the AFC side. The other side of this coin was, okay, we understand people cheering for and wishing the Bills well because of the DeMar Hamlin incident, right? That was human. Everybody wanted them to do well, wanted them to recover and feel good about their teammate, and thank goodness, conspiracy theorists aside, who say he doesn't exist or he's dead, just crazy people out there. It's just craziness. They're also the ones talking about flat earth. But anyway, they were the belle of the ball. Now, I get it. They're upstate New York. I know it's not New York City, but they really got all the coverage. Josh Allen's been getting a lot of love. And a lot of people, as you know, since I'm in Cincinnati, a lot of people felt like Joe Burrow wasn't getting much credit. And I agree with them. I barely follow the Bengals because I'm in town. Obviously, I have a lot of friends here who are big fans. But I'm too busy covering the Raiders. But I will tell you that Joe Burrow, if you look at what he's done this year, okay, and how they've gotten through the playoffs, what he's done to Patrick Mahomes, who he's going to play again on Sunday, the question are they a team of destiny again? I mean, they are playing well. They went out there, Mo. We talk about excuses and the fact that there are none in the NFL. They go out there with three of their offensive linemen out. They're on to backups. And they destroyed the Bills in the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Someone on this show put out a column or did a live show. And you know what that someone said? Someone said that the Bengals would meet the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
Yes, I recall.
That same person had the Eagles and the Chiefs also make it to the conference championship round. I don't know who that was, but
I'm glad you remembered it was me. No, that was you, of course. It's a rematch of the 1982 Super Bowl.
In all seriousness, I text you and our good friend Kelly Kreiner the night before the game?
Oh, yeah.
I said that 5.5 line is disrespectful to the Bengals.
Yes.
For a team that is trying to get back to the AFC Championship game, for a team that has now an ascending quarterback, who I believe is one of the top quarterbacks in the league right now, for a star wide receiver, and I get it, the defense doesn't have a lot of household names.
Right.
But as you read in the earlier segment, Lou Anarumo has turned around that defense.
Top five.
So they can get stops and they can score points. Sounds like there's no way you're going to give me the Bengals at 5.5 points. That means they're going to, they're not going to lose by a touchdown or more. It wasn't going to happen. People say, well, the offensive line. Did you not see Joe Burrow take that team with a trashy offensive line to the Super Bowl last year? I believe he was sacked 70 times between the regular season and the playoffs.
Yeah.
70 times and still got the Bengals to the Super Bowl. So I had no worries about the offensive line because the Bengals know how to get the ball out quick to their playmakers, and I thought that would give the Bills a hard time. And I trust, and I said this before too, I trust Joe Burrow in critical situations. I don't trust Josh Allen as much. As time gets away from him, gets away from the Josh Allen, Brian Daboll relationship, he's gotten sloppier. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow, on the other hand, has gotten better.
He's gotten better.
So now you look at this matchup, not to say that Patrick Mahomes is sloppy, but his injury. He has a high ankle sprain. Usually that's a 3 to 4 week injury for the most part. The average high ankle sprain, 3 to 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. So now you take away Patrick Mahomes' mobility. He has to stay in the pocket. Can't hurt you with his legs as much. You got to give the edge to the Cincinnati Bengals. They have a healthier quarterback, and they have a quarterback who could still move.
Chiefs don't have that. And in fact, after the Chiefs game, the opening line was the Chiefs by a point and a half. Now it's the Bengals by a point and a half on the road in Arrowhead. Like, you know the injuries playing into that, right? Of course, it has to be. And I have no doubt Patrick Mahomes will play, Mo. Yeah. But how effective will he be is the key. And I had one of the national pundits, and I'll keep names to myself, who absolutely, I think, probably has posters of Patrick Mahomes all over his bedroom, was saying, well, he doesn't really need that. He doesn't plant like other quarterbacks do. No, you listen, when you have a high ankle sprain, even Tony Romo on the broadcast on Sunday said, listen, I had it and I never played. I came back in the game the two times I had it, because they tape you up and really they shoot you up too. But then after the game, he said, yeah, I didn't play again. I didn't play for 2 weeks, one time, and 3 weeks the next time. So it's going to be interesting there. And the Bengals don't want an easy road, but you're right about Burrow, what he was able to do with that team. And you have Jackson Carmen is a good example. Now, he had a year less than Alex Leatherwood. Actually, no, they were the same year. So it's a good example. He comes in 2 weeks ago to sub for an injury for the Bengals, and he was considered a disappointment. And the last 2 weeks, the kid has been the top-rated offensive lineman in the NFL in the playoffs. So it goes to show you the patience. Everybody wanted to give up on Alex Leatherwood. Even I did at times. But sometimes, guys, if the talent is truly there, it just takes a little bit of time. And I think you're seeing that with that Bengals. The Bengals have depth that no one thought they had.
The other thing about Jackson Carmen is, I think people forget, he actually played left tackle.
Yes.
At Clemson.
Yeah.
So when the Bengals got him, they tried to convert him to guard. And this is my – I don't want to get on my soapbox because I know we're running out of time. But this is my thing with the Raiders, what they do so much. Coaching staffs have done this. I get that offensive linemen now are expected to play multiple positions. But if you are playing an offensive lineman at a position that he didn't play in college, there's going to be a learning curve. You cannot be impatient with that type of transition, because not every offensive lineman you can just plug in different spots. Some guys are just good at one position. Now, that limits their value to a team, but sometimes that's the case with the guy. So I'm looking ahead here, but the Raiders get a right tackle. I hope it's a guy that has some right tackle experience. And this is why I've been on Darnell Wright of Tennessee. I think the Raiders should get him in the second round, but I think he could probably shoot up to the first round. But again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but back to Jackson Carmen. They moved him back to right tackle, and lo and behold, he played well.
Exactly.
Not a coincidence.
No, it's not a coincidence. And it goes to, again, I know fans, especially Raiders fans, don't want to be patient because they've been waiting so long. But now with a new front office who has the ability to draft, sign free agents, you have to give them the opportunity. And if you look at the class from last year, what was their first pick in the draft, because they didn't have first, second? Who was their first pick in the draft this year? It was Dylan Parham. And he was on the all-rookie team for PFWA so far, right? Now, we'll see what other honors he's able to get if he gets any. But he was on the all-rookie team. So people who say that Ziegler has not done well, now, some of the free agents, I get the Chandler Jones thing and all that stuff. I think they were just trying to plug holes, which you got to do that sometimes. You take a risk on somebody, and you hope that they work out. And sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. But Parham, Zamir White, disappointed he didn't get more carries, but Josh Jacobs had such a good year. What were you going to do? There was just not as many carries, especially early in the year when they did not have the identity with the run and decided not to run the ball. So we'll see. And then Munford, too. He's had spots where he's played well. There's a guy you develop. He is a depth guy, right? So the Raiders, if you look at this, this is where I think people miss, because they're so disappointed in the 6-11 year that they missed, that there's a couple pieces there. They're not sexy, okay? They're not sexy, but they are pieces that are part of a core as you're building an offensive line that you need to do. And Dylan Parham is going to be your starting center. But nonetheless, that's the patience that the Bengals showed, and that's why they've done such a good job. That's why they're in their second straight after starting 0-2. First team to ever go 0-2 and get to the AFC Championship game. So that's going to be an interesting piece. But I do think that you look around the league, too, you can see other examples of teams turning things around quickly and evaluating talent like that. So it'll be It'll be fascinating. I mean, they're both going to be really good games, Mo. I'm excited about it. But your 5.5, your text, we all made money on that one. I also made money on the under. I knew the weather. That's why I got worried. Evan texted us that morning. Look, it's beautiful outside. It's 35 degrees and it's sunny. And I was like, oh, no. I was worried about the over. And then it started to snow right around game time. So that helped out significantly. Did you see, by the way, that there were some people outraged that the Bengals wore all white uniforms and that gave them an advantage because it was snowing?
Oh, my gosh. Come on, people. Enough with the conspiracy theories.
As I've learned over the last couple weeks with the Raiders' divorce from Derek Carr, people get upset about everything, and it's their right. They can do it. I'm not telling them not to. It just blows my mind sometimes. But fans are passionate. That's why they're called fans, and we'll see how it all rolls out. But it'll be fun, and I think there's a lot of lessons to look at some of these teams and how they were built, including the Eagles, to your point. Eagles, Bengals, I think, are more closely aligned for what the Raiders can do to turn this around pretty quickly, Mo.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to leave one positive nugget for Raider fans, and because I had a column out today, and I basically took the probability of every bottom team in the division to make the playoffs in 2023. And through my research, I realized that there were four teams that finished last in the division last in 2021 and made the playoffs.
Wow.
I know I'm forgetting one, but I know the Giants, the Jaguars, the Ravens, and the Seattle Seahawks. Those four teams finished fourth place in the division in 2021 and made the playoffs in 2022. So there's parity in the league. You can be a bum team, and you can switch it around with it only takes one good offseason.
Yeah.
If you're a Raider fan, you remember Reggie McKenzie. He had that, I believe, the 2014 draft, the Khalil Mack, Derek Carr draft. I believe Gabe Jackson was also in that class. Jelly Ellis was in that class. Mm-hmm. He had a monster draft class, and it changed the Raiders for the better. Now, They didn't make the playoffs in 2015, but you can see they were stacking. And it culminated in a 2016 playoff run. Unfortunately, Derek Carr got hurt at the end of the season. But all it takes is one big offseason, whether it's through the draft, free agency, or a combination of both. We saw the Jacksonville Jaguars do this. I remember people laughed at the Jacksonville Jaguars when they spent money on Christian Kirk, on Evan Ingram, on a defensive tackle that played for the Jets. Like, what are the Jaguars doing spending all this money? They're not going to do anything with it. I know they got Trevor Lawrence, but guess what? Trevor Lawrence had some help, because during that Jaguars stretch where they were winning a bunch of games, I said this on the show, I said this on multiple shows, Trevor Lawrence didn't play his best. He had a great supporting cast. He had a running back running for over 100 yards. He had a defense, especially the secondary was playing well at that point. He had Arden Key was making plays. So they were able to turn things around with, and I get it. They had Trevor Lawrence. They had Trayvon Walker, who's the number one overall pick. So they had some number one overall picks from having the worst record. But other than that, they spent the money and they were all able to turn things around. Trevor Lawrence didn't become all of a sudden good overnight. Yes, Super Bowl winning head coach, but Evan Ingram, Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, who Raider fans are familiar with, those guys helped him develop, became his top three pass catchers.
Well, and you look up at Seattle too, Mom. I'm glad you brought them up. They go from worst to playoff team in 1 year after trading away their franchise quarterback. Sound familiar? In this case, releasing or trading, depending what happens with Derek Carr. And Geno Smith, the journeyman, the disappointing journeyman, been all over the place, L.A., New York, everywhere, was really highly regarded out of college, never kind of made it. He gets there, but what else did they do? They got, to me, which should be one of the rookies of the year, which is their running back. They were able to establish the run and change, which, if you know anything about Seattle, even when they were better with Russell Wilson, they always had trouble with the running game since Marshawn Lynch has been gone. That's why they brought him back. Okay? So they get in a running game, and Pete Carroll establishes their identity as, hey, we're going to run the ball, and then we're going to let Geno dish it. We got good wide receivers, and look what happened. And so that's where I think too, even Raider fans, if the Raiders decide to go the route, and again, I'm concerned like you are with injury, but if it's a Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody like that, with all the other weapons, and they sign Josh Jacobs, this team can still do that on offense. They can take the model that you saw in Seattle, who had a great draft on defense, drafted a good running back, and really turned it around fast.
And the other thing they did, they drafted two tackles who started.
Yes.
Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas. So they built it from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And they made sure, and they had a quarterback in Geno Smith who knew the system, and they fit the system around him, which goes back to my earlier point. Fit the system around your quarterback, protect him, build mm-hmm. your team inside out. That's just my philosophy. And you got to strengthen the offensive line and defensive lines if you want to win football games.
And now they're in the position, because they traded Russell Wilson when they did. They are, you talk about draft picks, right? It's incredible, the draft capital. They're going to go from a fringe playoff team like they were this year to a team that's going to compete for that division with San Francisco, because they're going to be able to add so many pieces, both in the draft and free agency, they're going to go from where they were in 2 years to a team that could be competing for a conference championship. It's crazy, but that's what makes the NFL so great. That's why the salary cap as it is works really well, because teams can turn it around quickly if they are smart with their money and with their draft capital and with how they structure contracts. So it's all good stuff. That's why, that's our pep talk for Raider Nation, right, Mo? It's like, as we go into the off season, watch some positive of these teams. Yeah, watch some of these teams. The Raiders can be these teams very quickly, despite history. Again, Dave Ziegler, Josh McDaniels were not there 15 years ago. You can't blame all the dysfunction. You want to blame Mark Davis? Go ahead. But outside of that, you can't do that. They have more control than anybody's ever had in that building, I think. Well, John Gruden might have had it, but he didn't use it well. So that's a whole different story. All right, we're going to say goodbye for this show. We appreciate Mo playing hurt, as always. Mo, I know you have some pieces. You talked about your column up today on Sports Knot. What else you got coming up?
I'm going to go over, I know I should have gone over this earlier, but I'm going to go over what Derek Carr's trade value is before the trade actually happens, because it could happen any day now. A lot of people are, I think, misled on what Derek Carr is worth. I think people are underestimating the quarterback market, and that general managers and head coaches want to save their jobs.
Yes. And it's not, I hate to use the word, and you and I have used it when talking about this, desperate, but it's close to desperate.
It's close.
It's close, yes, it right?
Is. And listen, Scott, really quick, when you send a third round pick for Matt Ryan, that's desperate. 36-year-old Matt Ryan?
Yeah.
That's desperate. 36. That was the Colts last
5 years older than Derek Carr.
Mm-hmm. Third round pick.
That. Yes. And not only that, but Lee Steinberg was on the show Friday, did a show with Lee, as you heard, and he talked about the market's going to be nuts. So if you're a team, again, if I'm Derek Carr, number one, it benefits me. This is where I actually tweeted something out and people just completely misconstrued it. But my point was that Derek Carr actually has a lot more leverage than you think, and it would be smart for him. And I'm not saying help the team. It would be smart for him to help himself by finding a trade partner to take on his existing contract, because he's guaranteed the money, at least for that first year, the $35 million and then 40 for a second. And because if he hits the open market, you don't know what's going to happen, right? It's a gamble. That's what Lee Steinberg said. Look, yeah, if you want to gamble and you think you're going to get $40 million on the open market, you may, or you may not, depending what happens with the other quarterbacks. If Lamar Jackson's on the market, market may go up, but also the teams that need quarterbacks are going to go with different guys. But if you're a team and you want a quarterback at a price that's better for you, $35 million, that's a bargain for a starting quarterback, whether you like Derek Carr or not. It's a bargain, because if Lamar Jackson is going to get 70 or whatever it is, and these other players that hit the market like Garoppolo and others, like other guys, drive the market up, then the quarterback's going to cost you more. So both sides kind of win. Forget whether the Raiders benefit or not. The fact is Derek Carr can benefit, and then the other team acquiring him, the desperate coach that's on the hot seat or GM that's on the hot seat, they know that they're going to get their guy. They can get for $70 million over 2 years, you got a quarterback. Where else are you going to get a quarterback with his stature and stats for that price?
I just want to dispel two narratives that are out there on the Twitterverse. People say, why would Derek Carr want to weaken the team that he goes to by being traded for draft capital. And I will say, what team do you know goes, oh no, we're giving up a second round pick. Oh no, we're giving up a third round pick. The team that Derek Carr goes to is not going to give up multiple first rounders and multiple starters for him. It's going to take a day two pick. I'm going to get into that in my column.
In your column. Good.
But it's not like you're giving up a treasure chest of picks and players for him that his team is going to be so much weaker when he gets there.
Right.
That team is basically flipping a draft pick for a starting quarterback. That's a win. The other thing people ask is, well, why would a team want to trade for Derek Carr when it could just wait for him to be released? And I will say supply and demand.
Yes.
There are 8 to 10 teams that need a quarterback. There's only one Derek Carr. And then you got Tom Brady who's floating out there as a free agent, and then it goes downhill from there. Jimmy Garoppolo, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. If you acquire Derek Carr, you secure that quarterback.
Right.
You don't leave it up to chance. Now you're in a group of 8 to 10 teams that are vying for him on the free agent market. You get him for the trade capital, and you don't have to give up. Again, you don't have to give up first round picks. It's a second or third round pick, maybe a second and a fifth, second and a sixth.
Yeah.
But you skip the line and get your quarterback.
Right. And that's the thing. I always use this analogy because fans, when it comes to a situation like this, I understand a part of Raider Nation is happy they're moving on from Derek Carr. They're ecstatic. And so they say, well, why would a team do that for Derek Carr? Because you don't value him. But as you read Mo's piece this week, you'll see why he's valued. But also, I use this analogy, Mo. I say, listen, I bought a Powerball ticket. It could be worth $1 billion. Okay? So I have this Powerball ticket. I'll give it to you for $1 billion, or you could just wait and see if it wins and pay me a certain amount, or you could pay me the dollar I bought it for and maybe you win $1 billion, right? So the point is, you don't know. You're talking about potential. That ticket is not a winning ticket. It's a potentially winning ticket. A draft pick is a potentially good player in the second or third round. If you're the Raiders, probably not over the last 5 years, but nonetheless, If that's the point, you're betting on potential. Do you want to bet on a potential? Or you want to bet on a quarterback? I understand you don't like him. You think he's got a losing record, but overall he's got value. And so you're able to get him at a price that is from last year. And so there is incredible value. So read Mo's piece where he lays it out, because I think people will have a better. So some people will not care. They'll just stick to the narrative. Yeah. Other people will be educated by reading your piece. So we look forward to that. Mo, we hope you feel better, my friend.
Yeah. So, by the way, if you see that my eyes are red, my lips are red, that's I'm not doing any type of drug. That's cough drops and medication. I had to get medicated before I got on the show today to get through it, but hope to be back to 100% next week.
Get a shot of cortisone in the knee. No, I'm just kidding you. My dog is now jumping up on my stool here. All right, buddy. Well, listen, get better and we will talk to you soon. But that's the kind of guy Mo is. He's going to play hurt. So we appreciate that. Do us a favor again. If you don't already subscribe to the podcast, please do so wherever you get your audio. Also on YouTube, hit the subscription and the notifications bell. Until next time, Raider Nation, for our producer, David Stepanian, and my partner, Mo Moten, I am Scott Gilbranson. This has been Silver and Black Today, an Odyssey Original Podcast. Take care, Raider Nation.